Hey guys, welcome to Rogue Theory. It's a new show that we're really excited about here at New Rockstars. We're bringing together some of our favorite people in the nerdosphere to hypothesize and theorize and hungry eyes, all the eyes about the topics and questions that are in that nerdy zeitgeist right now. Also, we got a new set. Devin worked really hard on it. Give it up for Devin. He doesn't know that he worked on it. He's been doing it through his nightmares. On this episode, we're going to talk about Marvel's re-release of Avengers Endgame, the big-time actor that is supposedly, maybe, definitely, probably joining the MCU, and a potential fixed ending of Game of Thrones. Although some people think it doesn't need any fixing, just saying, I don't know. And then also just whatever else comes up, any nerdy tangents that happens here with me. Speaking of the nerds that will tangent with me, on this panel are Whitney Van Lanningham from NerdWire.
Hi, hello.
Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Our boy Sam Basher, host of Only Stupid Answers and also Might Be Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. And your Rockstar's own Eric Voss.
Yay!
I'm so grateful that they let me in here.
Wow.
It was an oversight and it won't be repeated.
Fair
cool. All right. So how are you guys doing? Welcome. This is our first one. Welcome.
Thank you.
You guys inaugurated it, if that's a verb.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sounds right.
Do we have champagne that we can smash on this set?
Yes.
We no longer keep champagne here because of what you did.
Just a drop. Just a drop.
This is also an intervention, which you're a big fan of.
I really am. You know?
It's a good show.
Yeah, we don't need to go into that. Instead, we'll do that again after the show. But instead, let's talk about what's going on with this Avengers Endgame thing. So Marvel Studios head Kevin Feige announced a plan to re-release Avengers Endgame again in theaters with, get ready, a deleted scene, a little tribute, and a few surprises. So probably after the credits. So the first like nerdy deep dive question that I have is there any chance that this isn't just a blatant attempt to make sure that they defeat Avatar at the box office?
I mean, probably. honestly, it feels like that, doesn't it? Like, hopefully it's okay if I take a swing at this first, but it's just like, it feels like that. It's silly internet points that if this movie gets more points, that means the thing we like more won. Because, like, Avatar right now, everyone's like, boo, no one wants these movies. 5 to 6 more that are coming out in the next 40 years, no one asked for these, so
Sam,
we want...
do you get paid in points?
Hmm?
Yes.
I just exchange them for anything I want, food.
Okay, these are real dollars.
You really got to switch over to favors and threats.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
No, it's just like...
much better system.
It's definitely like... It feels a little cheap. Because immediately when I heard that, I wanted to buy a ticket. You know, like I want to contribute to that. I want to know what else they're going to give me. But at the same time, you're like, why didn't you just put that in the first place?
Yeah, I hear that. I felt the same way. Maybe you're looking at it from Disney's perspective and Kevin Feige. They are so close. They're like $45
million
away.
$42
million.
Oh,
away.
Whitney
really?
Has that in her purse
from
right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Not anymore. Yeah. Buy a lot of champagne after this.
No!
It's the only thing I'll drink. You can also look at it from the angle of why didn't they do it in the initial release. I think from the studio perspective, they really wanted Endgame to be the finality, to be the final thing that we kind of walk away from. They ended it with a funeral. You know, there was no post-credits scene. I think all of us in this bubble are always worried about what the next thing is. And maybe now they feel like, okay, we've had 2 months to move on. Let's re-release it. People will go see it anyway. It's worth seeing again in the theater. It's such a great cinematic experience. Let's do it again. And now this will be the pivot jumping off point to what's coming in Phase 4.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could potentially help set up Spider-Man, which we're right about to see. What do you think, Whit?
That's true. I just am really hoping that the deleted scene that they put in is Tony Stark's daughter giving a shit that her dad just died.
Thinking that.
Because, like, she was just like, he's like, how are you doing, kid? And she's like, I want a cheeseburger. And it's like, I love a good cheeseburger, but your dad just died, dude.
Well,
and
maybe
like,
she has trouble determining.
I know grief eating is a thing. I do it, too.
Yeah.
I do it on Wednesday. But
There was a hologram of him, and his holograms are pretty vivid. Maybe she was just confused.
Dad's over there.
She was
He's
just
cast
like,
in blue light.
Where's daddy?
Because right they didn't put like a coffin out to the lake. They put a flower.
Well, they did, but it sunk.
Yeah. I never saw a body, guys, which is why he might be a Skrull.
We got a video for you.
Get out of my camera. Get out of there.
That's our new catchphrase.
Imagine they got you to buy an IMAX ticket just to watch a kid cry
just
a little bit longer.
But to be fair, there is supposedly this deleted scene of right after the snap, just like we saw Thanos and Gamora in, you know, the Blood Zone or whatever that place is, where he sees a grown-up version of his daughter and they have some sort of exchange. So it probably isn't like the saddest scene. Well, I don't know. Saying goodbye
like,
to your,
like
your grown-up daughter.
That didn't test well with audiences. Like, that just sounds like it would be really cheesy to me.
I mean, they did shoot it, and that was the actress who was the star of Netflix's 13 Reasons Why, and that was that was a big piece that like everyone's like, who's she gonna play?
And well, it's canon in the MCU too, what she does in 13 Reasons Why.
Exactly.
100%, yeah.
That's why she's there.
I was just a little confused because honestly,
turns out she was sad.
I didn't know what she looked like, so when Ant-Man's daughter was older, I was like, that must be her. So I was like, I didn't know that important.
Well, you have face blindness.
A little bit. Oh, yeah. My God. Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg, same person.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ooh, don't know
exactly
who they are.
Yeah. Just a little bit more Southie, he's Mark Wahlberg, but a little less. Yeah. Different flavors of Southie. Yeah. There was a thought that maybe the funeral that we saw from Tony Stark should have also been doubled and given the same proper respect to another person who sacrificed their life, Natasha Romanoff. And we never saw any kind of proper burial. There was an argument over whether to go back and use the stones to try to save her, but no proper send-off. So maybe that could be something, considering Black Widow has a movie in the works. Maybe they're going to try to set that up and kind of explain with some kind of scene that she is coming back, or there's a story that we never saw, like Budapest.
Well, one thing that they say that will be there, and that's a potential option, is a new tribute to someone. A lot of people are guessing it could be Stan Lee, but could be Black Widow. Do you guys think anybody else, maybe?
That'd be really cool. I mean, also, the idea for the tribute for the characters that are leaving, especially like your Scarlett Johansson, your Robert Downey Jr., and your Chris Evans, could be something that was really cool. But I think Stan Lee, honestly, sounds like the best option if we wanted to pay tribute to someone. That he started it all. For some reason, everyone, at least in this country and around the world, knows that that guy made comics or whatever that means. You know, like that's the
guy. He invented paper.
Yeah. He drew all of them.
Invented drawing.
So that idea, like before Captain Marvel, that was kind of a fun is the wrong word, a heartfelt tribute of having him in the Marvel Studios logo. But I wouldn't mind for like the genuine end to this saga being something for him. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, so fingers crossed. They did have one previously, but it was on Captain Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of people are like, felt weird that it was on that movie and not on the big final one.
It was just like that was the soonest one after his death, so they kind of just slapped it.
That's what they did with they did that with Punisher, and it's the end of season two. He goes and starts just murdering random people, and it says for Stan Lee at the end. You're like,
this is weird.
For you, Stan.
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted this, but whatever.
Sounds good.
Stan's just watching from heaven, like, I do not condone the actions of this man.
Yeah, that's what he says about all our videos. Yeah. Before we get on to our next topic, which is about which major Hollywood A-lister that I've been told maybe I look like sometimes, and it is Danny DeVito, who might be joining the MCU. We just got to give a quick thank you to our sponsors who helped us bring this show to you and a set. And, you know, Devin is very expensive to work with, so they helped us out a lot. So thank you so much to Harry's. First of all, the average guy spends 3,000 hours of their life shaving. Like, literally 4 months of your time is shaving. You do it all at once, and you get it done at the beginning. Like, that's what I try to do. So, basically, you don't want to waste all of your life overpaying for bad razors. With Harry's, you get a razor that's so sharp, you don't have to shave as often, literally. It's also only, like, $2 a blade. I love using Harry's razors. I have to actually, like, inch in with a very sharp blade in order to get this just right. I literally grow hair, like, up to my eyes.
Aww.
And then Harry's brings it right back down to non-Neanderthal. It's got this weighted, like, rubberized handle that's really great in your hand. I don't know if their German factory is just, like, pumping out vibranium blades or what, but they are very, very sharp. See? Like, I shouldn't do that joke because it looks like I slipped my wrist.
No.
They are very, very sharp. There's a lot of Band-Aids on my neck that you can't see. Get a trial set from Harry's that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. It's the weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade for a close shave, rich lathering shave gel that will leave you smelling great, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and clean on the go. Listeners of our show, by the way, they can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/rockstars. So make sure to go to harrys.com/rockstars to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you. My name is Philip, and you're supporting the show by being sent there. Thank you so much. Also, quick thank you to our other sponsor, Molecule. Molecule is reimagining the future of clean air, starting with an air purifier. With warm weather comes allergy season, sniffles and sneezes and headaches and all the annoying things that Eric does in the office. They're a part of our lives every day during this part of the year. You can't get away from the allergens and pollutants just by going inside, because actually indoor air is up to 5 times as bad as outdoor air. So luckily, the folks at Molecule have developed a cool new kind of air purifier that eliminates the things that make your nose all stuffy, which is why I sound like this. Normally, I would sound very masculine. It's cool. It's got a sleek design. It uses this breakthrough nanotech that actually destroys the allergens and pollutants that are 1,000 times smaller than what a normal like HEPA filter can do. And also, unlike a HEPA filter, the Molecule actually destroys the indoor air pollutants at a molecular level. It's like way too good tech to use on this kind of thing, but it completely removes them from the air that you breathe. Molecule uses, it's called photo electrochemical oxidation nanotech, which is the coolest thing, to eliminate viruses, airborne chemicals. Also, that technology has been verified by science as being very good at this, but most importantly, it's been tested by real people. There's an allergy or like asthma sufferer who said that she had not breathed through her nose in 15 years until she got the Molecule, which is amazing, like just for having a better quality of life. So for $75 off your first order, visit MOLECULE.com and enter code ROCKSTARS at checkout. Again, to save money and breathe easier, you just got to go to molecule.com, MOLECULE.com, and enter code ROCKSTARS at checkout. Thank you so much. Guys, is Keanu going to be in the MCU?
Ooh, I hope so.
Oh, man. I mean, wow.
Okay, so for those of you not caught up on the latest Keanu news, which there's so much Keanu news lately, Kevin Feige, apparently, he doesn't know that every time he speaks it makes news, but he said recently that almost every MCU movie, they try to find a way to get Keanu Reeves in there, and it just hasn't worked out. But they're basically implying that he's definitely going to make his way in at some point, and since he's having a moment right now, it sounds like they're trying extra hard to bring him in. So let's assume it's going to happen. What Marvel character do we want Keanu Reeves to play?
Ooh.
Anybody want to go first?
I'll jump on that. I mean, Adam Warlock's right there, you know.
Yes.
I guess the question
perfect
is...
Perfect man.
Is can Keanu go blonde? I guess is the question.
What can't Keanu do?
I think he can. I mean, he's that perfect fusion of someone who is kind of weirdly the spiritual figure from his Matrix roles. But he's also kind of can be goofy in the way that I would want Adam Warlock to be in James Gunn's third movie. So I would love if he could play Adam Warlock or something cosmic like Silver Surfer.
Been brought up.
Yeah, Silver Surfer's been.
Yeah, sort of that Lawrence Fishburne voice, or whatever.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You've got Lawrence Fishburne was the voice.
Doug Jones did the body, but Lawrence Fishburne did the voice. So weird.
Yeah.
Honestly, Silver Surfer's the top of my list, but at the same time, with Guardians 3 coming out, they're talking about Adam Warlock. So I feel like there was a hint of High Evolutionary being like villain they want to work with. The idea of using Keanu in a way that is cosmic and ethereal and something that is just larger than life. It's not looking at like the nitty gritty like street level stuff in like the MCU, which would be cool too. Like if you said like if you're out there like maybe he was Iron Fist or something like that, I'd be like that would be really cool. I'd be on board with that. But the idea of him playing someone like Infinity or something where it's like the Living Tribunal. Because imagine him wearing like a drape around his face and 3 different faces of Keanu spinning around and you talk to each one. The idea of him playing something larger than life, I feel, kind of leans a little bit into the meme culture around him right now, and I think there's something there of that either they can kind of lean into his like hand-to-hand combat, which would be cool, but I think if Marvel really wanted to mix it up, which they're very good at doing, is picking an ethereal role from like Silver Surfer or Infinity, someone that is the embodiment of a concept in the MCU, which could be really fun to like tackle as we move forward. Or, you know, I don't know. I think Silver Surfer, one, because he'd look good, and then two, I go Infinity.
Cool. So are there any answers left for you?
Yeah, like the one that I've been hearing a lot about that I think would be a little fun is Kang the Conqueror, which I just want to see him running around in animal pelts. I just want to watch Keanu run around. And like that's like that character
like
is kind of, yeah. And that and like kind of like that character, I guess, is so I would like to see Keanu bring like his humor kind of to it because it's not normally like a humorous as much.
Yeah, yeah. Does he doesn't know he's funny, right?
Like, that's kind of the thing too. And I mean, obviously, always be my maybe Keanu is my new favorite Keanu. Yeah.
I think that's who we're all imagining.
So, what flavor of Keanu are we talking about? Are we talking always be my maybe? Are we talking about Bill and Ted Keanu? Are we talking Matrix Keanu? John Wick Keanu?
No matter what, it's going to be an excellent adventure.
Yeah.
bad jokes.
No, I mean, they want it to be a John Wick Keanu.
No.
I think that's the vibe that they're hoping for.
They want that violent.
He's basically
like, tortured, damaged, yeah.
There's like 9 John Wicks. Give me a silly Keanu.
But honestly, though, if you go down the rabbit hole of Kang, there's so many versions of Kang that you could do. Like the young version of him. You can get an older version of him. You get the blue version of him. So many different toy options. But if you have to go up against multiple Keanos in a scene, one hand-to-hand combat, one with a laser, one with a flying surfboard, whatever you want, that's a pretty good pitch.
You're pitching real hard, and you're also grading your own pitches.
Yeah.
You guys went all cosmic, so I'm gonna go the other direction. I had already heard a rumor that they wanted him for Wolverine, but I think that's good that he's aged out of that. If they don't want to have to recast Wolverine again,
not unless he's old man Logan.
Yeah. Or unless Keanu also doesn't age, which he kind of doesn't.
He kind of is one of those vampires. One of those vampire portraits
He's most likely to be a vampire.
He fought on the Civil War.
Yeah,
on both sides.
But so who I'll throw out is finally like a version of Ghost Rider I could get behind. That to me
I've
is
heard
like
Ghost Rider too recently.
that one just cracks you up. Yeah.
He's so fun. He's so cute.
He does have similar energy to like Nick Cage because I could see
unhinged.
That.
He kind of is a little Nick Cage.
Where he's just kind of like not a person. He's more of an idea.
He really
of a
is.
Yeah, exactly.
Person.
He's an idea. He's a hallucination that we all experience together, and are grateful for that.
I think if you went the opposite direction from cosmic, something that's as grounded as you can get, like not like an Iron Man or Captain America, someone just fully street level. Someone also as a teacher could be kind of cool, like a stick who trains Daredevil. Something like that would be very cool for him.
Yeah, I just like that idea. That I mean, he's a pretty good fighter. As we saw in Always Be My Maybe, where he kicks
an excellent fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of honestly, before he gets old, I want to see him in some badass fight scenes. Like, I feel like if there's MCU characters he could take right now as Keanu Reeves. Like, he could, I don't know, maybe Black Widow? Like he might be able to, like,
let's get that down.
Well, he'd be great to have as another Sorcerer Supreme or something. Like, they cast Benedict Cumberbatch, he's, like, great casting, but you gotta imagine Keanu was in consideration for that role for Doctor Strange.
Oh, he had to have been,
Must have had to have called him. Or Mordo or something, yeah, for Tilda Swinton's part, maybe.
100% for Tilda Swinton's part.
Yeah.
He's actually Asian, too, which
would have avoided that.
That's cool, you know?
Go big.
Fun stuff.
I just, last pitch. Galactus. Go full. Like, he is the net. Like, you want Kang the Conqueror as your next villain. Galactus, he's layered. He's deep. Sometimes he's a hero. Sometimes he's a villain. And also, kind of giving him a weird costume, I feel like, would really fit. Yeah. Like, another flavor of Keanu.
You're telling me I can eat planets?
It's a pretty out there theory, but Sam, I don't know. How do you grade your own pitch?
C?
not even that.
I give it a B. I think, I think Silver Surfer is the one we want to go with. And also, the idea also, if you kind of go with, like, he's Silver Surfer and Galactus, they're like a symbiotic relationship where they both kind of look like each other. I'm going down a rabbit hole. There's a couple things you can play with there.
You went down a rabbit hole.
I'm lost.
Yeah. Okay, let's, like, take it back to Spider-Man for just a moment.
We didn't start there.
And hear me out. I know. I just, in my mind, I was there.
You've there the whole time.
So, back to Spider-Man. Well, because we were talking about how the next Spider-Man's coming out and the possibly could be a setup sort of situation. We don't know what movie they want to hire him for. Is it going to be a Spider-Man thing, or is it going to be a, you know, like a Guardians future thing or whatever? Mm-hmm. But J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, we don't have a J.J. And yeah, no, we don't.
I wonder
yeah.
if he could get that, like, that anger.
Well, it would be a different vibe. It wouldn't be like a Bugle. It'd be more like a Devil Wears Prada style magazine
exactly,
or something
yeah.
like that Peter works at. Yeah, yeah.
Or like a WikiLeaks journalist, whistleblower kind of guy. What's that guy's name? Got carried out of
Julian Assange.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a turn.
Yeah. Well, Sam, how do you grade that pitch?
Give it a B as well.
Well, thank you. I wouldn't give it a B.
You didn't give the other one a B, so it's not as well.
Grade my gratings down below.
All right, well, speaking of giving it a B or so, let's talk about the end of Game of Thrones, which I mean, I'm going to say right out of the gate that I actually have a lot that I liked in that last season, but clearly a lot of people had a lot that they hated. I also had my own frustrations. But there's this really popular video going around right now from YouTuber Think Story. He reworked the plots of the last three episodes of the series in a way that a lot of people are saying that they actually prefer and wish the show had actually done it the way he did it, as if they knew his ending. And also, obviously, he doesn't need to keep George R. R. Martin happy the way that the rest of us do constantly, or he'll leave us. But what he does is he leaves the first two episodes of the season intact, and then he picks things up during the Battle of Winterfell, which still does happen, and Jorah and Theon still die, but then this is actually one of my favorite changes. The Night King wins that battle, which I kind of like was, I couldn't imagine how the Night King wasn't going to win, and then he didn't. But then our survivors have to rush south to King's Landing. There, Jaime has to convince Cersei to let all those people into King's Landing, and that's where she makes Dany bend the knee to her. Dany, obviously, choosing her people. Well, not obviously, I guess. In this scenario, choosing her people does decide to bend the knee, and actually Cersei in that moment at least kind of wins the Game of Thrones. But Bran also travels back in time, and he figures out that the only way to destroy the Night King is to burn the Weirwood Tree where he was made. It'll kill all the magic in the world if they do that, including zombie Jon Snow, the father of Dany's baby, who is definitely pregnant with John's baby in this version. Dany does successfully burn the tree for the good of the realm. John dies in her arms. She's kind of an Azor Ahai figure in a way. And then their child is supposed to be the heir to the future Iron Throne. There's also some cool stuff that we didn't see. Bran wargs into a dragon, which we all kind of wanted to happen, but it was only kind of teased. Although he gets stuck in it when somebody basically like unplugs the dragon. Arya does wear another face. She wears Jaime Lannister's face, and she uses it to kill Cersei. The Night King freezes the water around Euron's ships.
So cool.
And Alaria Sand, turns out she was still alive in the Red Keep. She breaks out of her jail cell and gets in like a fight with Arya, basically. Maybe it's just a shouting match or something. Questions here, basically. So you guys are all caught up. Listeners are caught up too. Does that sound more satisfying to you? Would that have been like, yeah, I would have been happy with that version? Or is it kind of no matter what at this point, people were going to have issues?
I mean, go for it.
Oh, sorry. Well, I guess I also am kind of on the same page as you, where I didn't hate the last season of Game of Thrones. There was like some things obviously that I was like, that wasn't great, but like it's not my least favorite thing in the world, so I'm not in that camp.
It's a high bar.
So yeah, you know. Well, no, it's just, I mean, people are like raging about this. Yeah. Like I have friends with very strong opinions that I have gotten into a lot of battles with recently, swords only. But yeah, I guess that I really thought that the Night King was gonna be a bigger deal, because obviously like it opens with the Night King. I mean, it opens with like the Cold Boys, as I call them, and like the Night King and the Cold Boys are supposed to represent like, you know,
a sick
like,
80s band.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Night King and the Cold Boys. But they're like supposed to represent like climate change and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so in my opinion, what happened in the Game of Thrones like series finale was kind of like, they were like, oh yeah, dude, no, it's cool. Like climate change, that problem we thought we had, that's done with. Let's just focus on Donald Trump now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not the thing. Like there's the the Night King should have been a bigger problem. Like, that was the bigger overall problem for me.
But for you, it's because of the allegory is kind of what you
wanted? No, not necessarily just the allegory, but just in terms of, like, it was such a bigger danger to everyone than Cersei ever could be, than any, like, human ever could be. Because,
which is more on the show, right? The show really hyped it up to be,
to be, like, this big,
so
huge deal.
Yeah.
So that was the thing that I agreed with this guy's video on, was that I did think that the Night King should have been a little harder to defeat. I'm also not a huge fan of how literally every single franchise now is bursting people into Thanos dust. It's like, come on, that was Queen of the Damned 2001 era. Get your shit together, people.
It's a Aaliyah deep cut.
Aaliyah deep cut right there. Yeah, but that's how she dies. So
not in real life. It was very sad.
Oh, yeah, in real life, R.I.P.
I wasn't disappointed really with the season either. I think the more I think about it, I see the concerns, I see the criticisms, and I think a good amount of them are valid. I like the idea of the Night King meaning more because, like you've said, and like you said, like the way that went about for just a lot of reasons, it felt hollow. It felt like we were just kind of spinning our wheels. Even though this is a big deal, it didn't feel that way. So the idea of kind of stretching that out and bringing it further south so that Cersei is aware of what this problem is, that's great. And I like the idea of utilizing making the Faceless Men mean literally anything, like, for anyone, like, besides her, Arya's training as an assassin, the idea that she learned this trick that is amazing.
Yeah. That is essential for the story.
Yeah.
For the overall arc of the show.
So that it means something. Right. I like his video is great, and I like the way he kind of breaks in at certain points, specifically, like, just utilizing everything that you've set up beautifully over all these seasons and making it worth something. Not that I, again, still enjoyed the end of the series, but I like that idea. I like the idea of Dany having the bend the knee, and I like that this ending better for Dany and Jon specifically, although I think the showrunners brought Dany to an interesting spot that we were kind of seeing for a long time. So her ending I'm not so much upset about, but I do like their ending for Jon better. Or I like this man's fan theory about Jon's ending better.
The ultimate sacrifice.
The ultimate sacrifice. Also, the weirwood tree meaning something. You know, a lot more. Also, Bran meaning more.
Now, I will call out that the weirwood tree is a MacGuffin, like, in his version. You know, it does mean more, but it also suddenly becomes a race to the weirwood tree. In his version, the Night King is able to see the same thing that Bran is able to see, and so now they are all racing to the weirwood tree, which does have kind of an Indiana Jones feel to it a little bit. But you're right that the show had already established, like, this location isn't really important, these symbols are really important. Maybe they're all pointing to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this guy's video, and I think the reason I liked it is he's very tapped into what a lot of the fans saw the show as. Like, he kind of follows a lot of the plot trajectory points that we kind of predicted the show might go in the final season, and instead Dan and Dave subverted expectations, which a lot of fans are just mad that all they did is just be surprising and just give us something unexpected, even though it's not really justified in the show's trajectory up until that point. But I think the fact that I like it is, it doesn't mean that it's what the show should have been. You know, like, just because they're tapped in with what fans wanted for the show doesn't mean it's right. And there's a lot of the things that I saw in this video where I'm like, oh god, I would have hated if a Laurya Sand. I did not need a Laurya Sand.
That part was
a
stretch.
So it's not like this guy is any wiser or the fans are any wiser than Dan and Dave are. But I think the reason why people are upset is, unlike what you saw the Russo brothers and Kevin Feige did with Avengers Endgame and kind of satisfy exactly what fans want. Like, the Marvel guys are very plugged into what fans are expecting and much, much better at expectation management than what the HBO team was at. And I think going forward with a lot of these big property things, it sets the bar higher. You have to be aware of what your fans are expecting, and you can't just throw curveballs at them and expect them to stay with you. You kind of have to, you have to watch some of these videos. You have to know what fans want from these characters rather than just kind of blindly go in your own direction and expect everyone to be on board with you and then just say F you if they aren't on board.
Right. Can you imagine if Stan Lee years ago told Kevin Feige how Avengers Endgame needs to end? Like, that's the big difference, right? That they were like, we can do what the fans want, and we can build to it, and we can pay that all off. And instead, you know, D&D were given a very specific ending with characters, and this version that this guy did does not acknowledge, you know, the things that George R. R. Martin most likely told them. This is how it's supposed to end. So he does have that freedom, first of all, that our showrunners did not. But I do think Eric's really tapping into this idea of the fan service kind of ending. I think Endgame nailed it. But I do think that's maybe my issue with this video is it's kind of like, yeah, you know, as the rubble is falling, like Ilaria Sand kind of falls out of the rubble and it's like, oh, thank God I'm out of there.
No.
Let's fight. You know, that's a little excessive. That said, you know, sometimes that's the feeling that people want. When Sam and I were on SourceFed, the last video we did was just purposely like the most fan servicey thing of any single reference that had ever been made on SourceFed, and it's like a really cheesy kind of story, but it really was kind of like this. It really, we'd already lost our jobs at that point.
Yeah.
We really didn't care like for like what our ending was. It was like, why don't we make literally like the ending that the fans probably would request. It's just, man, they were just in a real hard position, especially now that people are like, here's how you should have done it, with a lot of hindsight and with a lot of reaction telling me how you should have done it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot easier to do it from this perspective. But still, hey, good job, right? Yay. Sam, what are your greatest pitch?
That's an A.
Ooh, that's an A.
Grade my pitch.
Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome back to Grade My Pitch. That's pitch with a P. all right. Let's give it up really quick for another sponsor who helped us bring you guys this new show. It's Wix. Wix allows you guys to build professional websites with thousands of different templates. So your site can do whatever it needs to do. It can be a blog, a business, a place to interact with your fans of your pop culture YouTube channel, which is actually what we did with it. I'll tell you about that in a second. But basically, Wix just has a bunch of professional solutions to fit whatever your needs are. So the way we used it, we built this interactive website for you to get involved with what we cover on like this show and in our other videos. It's newrockstarsfan.com. It lets you give us feedback and suggest future video topics for us to cover. It helps us, by the way, you get a direct line of communication with you guys of what we should spend our time on. The newly launched version of Wix, it's got this Wix Turbo. It loads way faster than other websites. They take care of the heavy lifting that lets you just take full creative control of your own website. That could be your first website. You could be an experienced veteran designer like Devin. But you can get started today. No one last, because we all respect Devin very much and all the amazing things that Devin has pulled off. Again, give it up for Devin for everything that Devin pulls off constantly. He's literally holding up the table right now. You can get started today for free at wix.com/rockstars and apply code rockstars at checkout to get an additional 10% off when you upgrade to the premium version. So again, it's wix.com/rockstars, and if you use the code rockstars at checkout, you get 10% off the upgraded version of premium, but also just starting is free.
Hi everybody, I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But let's move on to some movies that we didn't connect with as much as we do with our new website. It's a real strange time for movies, actually, that are not MCU movies. Like, MCU is still, you know, killing it. They're coming back because they're doing so well with the same movies. But both X-Men Dark Phoenix and Men in Black International, they completely failed to connect with critics and audiences. They're both sitting in the low 20s on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
Dark Phoenix, it's totally true, was beaten at the box office by Secret Life of Pets 2.
It's not a diss at Secret Life of Pets 2. That's a solid movie.
Family fun, entertainment. Avatar, Avengers Endgame, Secret Life of Pets 2.
Oh, yeah. Not the first one.
Yeah.
Well, who saw that? I just want to go down really quick and ask, let's start with you, Whitney. Why didn't you watch Men in Black International?
I guess I just, like, I don't know. Honestly, it was just one of those things for me where it was like, okay, well, like, we know Will Smith's not coming back. And then I also
Hemsworth
like,
isn't worth it?
No, she's not. Just kidding.
That's
just kidding,
the whole reason
kidding.
To go see it. Yeah.
I don't really stand by what I just said. it's not something I've really been interested in since like 1998, to be honest. So that's
been
really
a minute.
Why,
but the 90s are back.
I know. The
so is your
90s
eighth grade boyfriend.
Back. Exactly. Yeah. Hi, Oscar. How are you? You want to go out later? No, but I do appreciate that there's a small pug cameo, I've heard. I would see it for that. I have a baby pug, so that interests me on a deep
not the $300
level.
Million dollars
no,
they spent on creating
honestly,
new species.
I'm sorry.
You could just look up pug pictures on Instagram.
Why would I do that? When Why I could wouldn't? Go pay $6 to see it at my local theater.
$6?
Where do you
see
it?
Are you in?
Yeah. Oh, dude, no, yeah. I have that. The movie theater by my house is like one of those like cool ones. It's
yeah,
like
the
six
Vista
bucks.
Matinee or something.
Yeah, it's like a dumb one. Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Is it dumb or is it cool?
It's cool. It's cool.
It's cool
and
how dumb it is.
It's dumbly inexpensive.
Oh, God,
for that.
Exactly. It's just really cheap. They have really cheap. They have like canned wine that they serve too.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
For the kids,
that is pretty nice. Sam, why didn't you watch Men in Black International?
I did.
Of course you did. You watched everything. Thing. I love it. How was
it? It was bad.
Oh, no.
Bad. It was okay. So it's
but
just,
why didn't you take 10 friends
you're
again
right.
and again?
You're right.
Why didn't you invite me, Sam?
Yeah. Also, fun plug. I saw Dark Phoenix too, and the final fight scene. You're like Hans Zimmer weirdly did the score. So you're like, okay, pretty good. And it's like chugging, chugging, chugging. You hit that lull for a second. You're like, are we gonna make it? And it's quiet. And you're like, whoa, the beat's still going. And then the lights started flashing, and I was like, oh, the fire alarm's going off, and it's been going off for maybe 10 minutes. And they did, since it was a press screening, they didn't know what to do because we're press, and they can't show us another screening. So they evacuated the other theater and left us in as the alarm was going off. I already had my opinion of the movie. It wasn't going to change. Men in Black, I don't know. It kind of misses the mark of the charm of the first Men in Black film and also the fun discovery of it where it taps into all the UFOlogy that we are kind of aware
right.
of, like the tabloids and like crop circles and everything. Like it's great. Like and then the second movie happened and the third one and whatever. And the fourth one, you're like, okay, we can, you know, new director, F. Gary Gray, new team, maybe we can figure it out. And it doesn't. It has three ideas and nothing ends and then the movie's over. And it's a real big disappointment.
That's really interesting, though, that you're reminded me of the first one. It is the connections to Roswell, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's this, even the trailer for it is like basically, what if I told you that there's this whole underground society that is like the most advanced force in the universe? And it's all like right under your nose happening every day. And also, people around you every day are blatant aliens, and that's why there's so many weird people on the planet. So it did have that whole other layer. And then it eventually became like a full version of that Will Smith music video.
Mm-hmm. Wild Wild West?
Exactly the Wild Wild West.
Yeah. Yeah. Great
Eric, why didn't you come to my birthday party?
I wasn't invited.
Yeah, but it was at Men in Black International. You should have been there anyway.
Well, it's just the marketing for the movie is so bad. No, I mean, here's the problem. It is marketing, right? Like, there's been plenty of movies that, like, don't get great critics' reviews, but, like, audiences still love them. I think Venom is a good example of that. Like, critics didn't go crazy for Venom, but it made a ton of money, and audiences still connected.
Especially in the Asian market where it made a lot of that money.
Yeah, it's a lot of it is, again, expectation management. These are two dead franchises. Like, the last movies that people could remember from those franchises were not good. People didn't like X-Men Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I don't think people could really remember Men in Black 3, but
yeah,
I don't think people really had a positive feeling about it. And the studios didn't do anything to get people excited to go see these movies. Like, part of it was Fox was bought out by Disney, so Fox executives didn't really know how to promote Dark Phoenix at that point. But the trailers were confusing for both of those movies, were released at really confusing times. Like, I remember...
Yeah, one it was in the middle of the night. And
yeah, it was like a 9 p.m. Wait, really? West Coast time for a Dark Phoenix trailer. I'm like, do they want people to watch this trailer? Men in Black came out like it was like Friday, like right before Christmas, and like we were on our way out the door. We're like, oh, should we talk about this? Like, there's
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I didn't even know that Men in Black was like out yet. Like mm-hmm. Like I had no idea that it had even already come out.
Yeah, the studios in both cases dumped these movies and didn't want people to go see them. It seemed like so.
Which
why should
is crazy
we?
Crazy because I get why X-Men kind of faltered because weirdly we know so much about the merger of two companies and we talk about it. You know, like not. Yeah. I like talking about it, but how much everybody kind of knows about it in like some way or another. The Men in Black movies, it's weird because you had a chance to kind of reinvigorate it. You had young co-stars that were great in a hit movie in Thor Ragnarok, and all you really had to do was do a buddy cop movie, and it's none of those things.
Well, it seems like they kind of tried to do a little bit of that with the marketing, but then the marketing kept changing, where then they said, well, what if it's actually a Thor spinoff? Right, there was like all the references to the hammer and stuff, and they made like two ads that were dedicated to making it seem like Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, it is a business, and on the script level, the direction level, these movies aren't that great either. But you can still like you can salvage it and make something great out of it. And I didn't see Men in Black, but the reason I didn't see it is it seemed to have not understand what was great about the original film, which is amazing. The original film, the whole joke of it is you have like Will Smith get emasculated with this tiny noisy cricket, right?
That's and the plot of the whole movie.
Yeah,
that's the but
it's just funny and goofy. You have
so good.
You have
so,
what's
so
his
great.
Face
Donald
like
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, and then the guy, the cockroach guy, who's Kingpin.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah. D'Onofrio's doing these crazy, wacky like bits that, as the series went on, they got further and further away from it and tried to lean into the cool. And then in the Men in Black International, they literally have huge guns, and that's all that's cool about it, as opposed to the small guns. And that's
so
fun. Well, it
had that Barry Sonnenfeld vibe. I remember, like, just the end of the credits sequence is one that always stays with me, right? Where, like, it keeps zooming back out, and we just kind of, like, understand like how like quirky and weird the universe is and how insignificant some things are. It reminded me a lot of that show Pushing Daisies. Remember that show where it's just kind of like this like quirky like weird reality, and it's almost like in that show the joke of being able to like resurrect people, and it's like in a bakery or something. Like it's like putting that juxtaposition of super serious content with like a super silly cute portrayal of it, and that, you know, Men in Black, that's kind of the theme of that, right? Where, you know, the whole universe and everything that's important can be like in a child's toy, I think is what it was, right?
It's a marble.
The alien is throwing marbles.
And also it's like, it's day to day. For Tommy Lee Jones, it's like, the world ends like every like couple months. It's fine, don't freak out. If you freak out, it's gonna make it so hard for you. Don't freak out. And then they like you pointed out, they kind of just lose that over the 2, 3, and 4, they don't care anymore.
You know what they also didn't have? We were always obsessed with the and then like the little alien that's in the face and Orion's belt or whatever. I always imagine like anyone that it was a teacher of mine or whatever, like they had that little alien inside of them. But all these innovative ways to like hide aliens amongst us. And then I don't think there was any reveals of like new kinds of aliens in the commercials or anything.
No, they didn't. They did do that same joke from the first one where it was like, it's like Michael Jackson an alien, and then they showed Donald Glover. He's like, that guy's an alien. It's like, and everyone's like, for sure. I'm like, what?
Why did Donald Glover?
Why Donald Glover?
Because he's talented. Yeah. Like, I don't understand.
That's wonderful. For sure. Good
yeah,
for
not
him.
Christopher Walken or something.
Yeah.
But speaking of the marketing, y'all, do you guys remember Burger King putting out the Men in Black? It was like a chicken apple sauce, and it was green. And it was like for like the aliens. Do you remember that?
I remember the green
chicken
applesauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
green
was,
chicken applesauce.
It was like
was
so
it local
was,
to
it
only
a,
your at Burnett Burger King?
No, it wasn't. So it was like it was apple, like it wasn't applesauce. It was like a dressing. It was like a condiment almost, but it was lime green and it tasted kind of like apples. And then you dip your chickies into it.
Oh my god!
And that's why this movie failed.
That's why this movie failed is exactly what I'm saying. So grade my pitch, but this movie failed because Burger King didn't re-put out the green.
This is
apple.
The Rick Sanchez argument. You went the Szechuan sauce, and everything's fine.
A+.
Yeah, plus, there you go. Before we move on from it, though, I do want to ask you guys kind of a two-parter here with X-Men Dark Phoenix. Why did fatigue set in for that franchise and not for the Avengers? And then I'll ask something else in a second.
I mean, output, right? Like, Avengers was pumping out 2 to 3 movies a year and keeping these characters fresh in our mind.
You think that it's because they had more movies?
Yeah, I honestly do. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't... we forgot what the X-Men franchise was. The X-Men Apocalypse kind of came out and landed with a thud in the summer of 2016. And we had almost 3 years before we had another X-Men movie with that character. We had Deadpool movies that were doing great. But I think people lost touch with what that franchise was. And the fact that X-Men Apocalypse ended with it was such a not great movie, like no one really cared what was coming next from that. I mean, Days of Future Past was the one before that, and it was solid. So, I guess we had Logan, but Logan was so removed from everything else from that franchise and was deliberately trying to be its own
Logan
thing.
Was totally its own
and
thing.
I think a lot of people felt that Logan should have been the end of that franchise because it was just such an emotional goodbye to those characters. So it kind of felt like you were resurrecting something that we had already said goodbye to.
Logan is one of my favorite movies. It's so good.
It's fantastic.
I love it very much.
And also, kind of piggybacking off of that, like, X-Men Apocalypse set up a whole new cast. that no one connected with. Yeah. No one remembers who they are. Like, I know Cyclops wears the goggles, and Nightcrawler is blue. And, like, that's it. And, like, then they did, like, this new movie. It's like, well, you guys like those characters, so they're the main crux of this movie specifically, even though we already had about three endings to this franchise. So, yeah, and also, like, saying, like, that Marvel MCU proper cranks out so many movies, like, it does work, though. It does work, especially when you're leading to something very specific. It was still able to bring in new people and keep loyal fans going back over and over again. Captain Marvel, what, made $1 billion? Almost made $1 billion? Something like that. So it's a testament to that and a few other things, but it does help having movies crank out that often.
Yeah. I also guess I've just, ever since, like, after Days of Future Past, I guess I've just kind of been feeling, like, a sense of fatigue from Jennifer Lawrence and Michael Fassbender. Where
I mean,
just,
she's giving that off as, like, hard as,
yeah,
she can,
like,
to get
they're
written
just
out.
Like, yeah, like, she just wants out so bad. Mm-hmm. And, like, neither of them care, you know? And it's just like, I know you don't care. I don't want to watch this movie that you don't even care about either.
Right. He doesn't even wear a costume in this movie. Yeah, he doesn't even care.
He whips it out at one point and it crushes his head.
Cool, tight, yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting point about the endings that Sam and Eric said, that this idea that it felt like it ended already. It kind of reminds me of that Lord of the Rings style of ending, right, where it was kind of a specific, in Return of the King, where it was like everyone needed to go to the bathroom. I still remember that because I had to see a doctor after this, and it was just like you have to hold it through three or four more endings. And it does have the X-Men franchise, like, reminding you the Patrick Stewart generation of that franchise ended once, you know, like, we have ended that thing so many times. Meanwhile, Avengers has never, they just got to their first ending 65 years later. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to be fair to the X-Men franchise, Avengers, they learned from the mistakes of the X-Men franchise. I mean, Kevin Feige was an associate producer on the first one, and he was able to see where the X-Men franchise kind of went wrong over the years and was able to, from the beginning, do like a 2.0 version of superhero genre movies, and was able to do exactly the story he wanted to and was able to plan ahead. And the way that the X-Men movies have been able to, they've been kind of reacting to the failures of the past one and trying to do a different thing, right, you know.
By so bringing back the exact same creative team almost every single time, which is super weird. Cool. But and then what's it gonna take for you guys to get excited about the X-Men again?
Kevin Feige, PGA on the opening credits.
Yeah, but and you think time probably, right? Like, not even if it was next year, even if it was Kevin Feige, even if it was Marvel, it probably is like kind of, it just doesn't feel right now to do it.
You say that, but they cranked out the third Spider-Man 2 is coming out in a week, and they have not waited at any time just to keep making those movies. But when you stamped MCU on there, people got interested again. Spider-Man Homecoming didn't perform as well as, like, previous Spider-Man films, but it still made buckets of money. And it got people to go see a lot of more movies since Tom Holland was in those. So that idea of, like, I'd say give it a little bit of time just because we're tired. They're probably tired making X-Men movies. Give it a second and then
we're
come
tired.
Back. We're tired. Dark Phoenix
really
is a rough movie to get through.
Yeah.
Give it some time, but I think you don't have to wait that long.
Okay. Honestly, though, like, I've been really satisfied with all of the, like, X-Men characters that they've been introducing through Deadpool. Like, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, anyone? Mm-hmm. She fly. I like her. You know, like, I've been having a lot of fun with,
like, did you
give
your
those
own, like, shout-outs, like, so, like,
I
side
did,
support
yes,
there?
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
She fly. We like her.
She fly.
Her.
We like
bring
her.
Bring Whitney back.
No, but, I mean, I like those characters, so I guess I feel like, I don't know, like, if I think the Deadpool's going to get me back into it, if anyone does.
I mean, it seems like he's the only one that they'll keep, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good call.
Cool. Well, we're going to wrap this up with a thing we're just going to try out here. It's just a little bit of rogue questions on this Rogue Theory show.
No.
And these questions are I don't know what the questions are, actually. So I'll probably hate them, but but we'll see. Maybe they make sense. Maybe they're great. Maybe they're amazing. Devin, you did a great job, I'm sure. All right. So, number one, I'm just throwing this out to everyone. So Steven Spielberg is producing a short form horror series called Spielberg After Dark that can only be viewed when it is literally dark outside. Question: besides horror, what other content should you only watch at night?
Oh, the Battle of Winterfell, so that you can actually make out the contrast lines.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ooh, the opening scene to Logan where he takes out all those guys on the side of the freeway.
Oh, that is
super bloody,
good one.
And it's so that way you can hide your tears if you're crying.
And I would say Daredevil in solidarity.
Ooh.
Great. Daredevil, yeah.
Always dark.
two. Blade Runner 2049 director Denis Villeneuve is creating a Dune spin-off TV series focused on the women of the Dune universe. Question: What alien race needs their own spin-off series? Oh. So, Geico Caveman.
Geico Caveman 1.
Yeah.
Every single one-off Monster of the Week episode on X-Files, every single one of those monsters is deserving.
There's pretty good ones.
As a team.
As a team, they all team up the slime guy who can fit through the pipes.
I give the scrolls, maybe. Just girl scrolls. Maybe it could shapeshift and go out and do fun stuff together.
I think we need an Animorphs Hork-Bajir Chronicles series.
Yes. And you've been saying it.
They've been primed for a reboot. Yeah. Why hasn't it happened yet?
Yeah. You have a new video coming out on that, right?
Oh, sure. Okay, I'm on it.
Number three. A video went viral this week of a man washing his roof in Florida during a rainstorm dressed in a full Spider-Man costume. Question, Eric, when did you make it down to Florida?
Hey, you guys said I wasn't allowed to do it naked, so this is a step in the right direction.
And it was still more obscene somehow. Yes. Number four, Netflix said that 30 million accounts watched the new Adam Sandler movie. 30 million accounts! The new Adam Sandler movie, Murder Mystery, in its very first weekend. Whitney, why did you watch this instead of Men in Black?
I didn't watch it, I swear.
You sure?
I swear, yes. I'll watch Men in Black, I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. Did anybody watch it?
Well, 30 million people did. That card landed perfectly on her wall there. Yeah.
It's teetering up there.
Yeah.
30 million. Yeah. I mean, are they Russian bots? Like, what?
I heard it was okay.
Yeah, people love Sandler.
My dad watched it like 5 times.
That's cool.
5 million times?
5 million.
I mean, I can't say.
30 of your dads all watched it five million times.
That's the Alien spinoff series I need to see. 30 of Sam's dads.
30 Sam's dads.
But fans in Edmonton, Canada have started a petition to name a park building the Nathan Fillion Civilian Pavilion.
That's perfect.
All right.
I have no problems.
This is a challenge round. First person to come up with their own great celebrity rhyming name of a building wins. Some examples are... Francis McDormand McDormatory, or Whitney Van Landingham's Van Landing Pad.
Okay, I've got the Janet Reno Clambake Casino.
All right, done. Yes,
not gonna top that.
Oh my god!
Whitney wins this episode of Rogue Theory.
Yes.
Great job. Thank you so much. That's it, guys. That was the premiere episode.
Yeah.
So big thanks to our panel. We got Eric Voss. Sam Basher, who we can find Only Stupid Answers and Might Be Awesome. And our winner of this week, Whitney Van Landingham.
I didn't even know this was like a game.
I didn't know it was a competition. Yeah. I was not aware it was a competition.
Always a game.
Yeah, follow all these people on Twitter and on Instagram. Give them a search. Give them a Google. Thanks so much. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks so much for going out on a limb with us on this show. We're trying new things, obviously, and we're really proud of the stuff we've done, but also we're really excited about the stuff that we're going to do. Constructive criticism allowed at FEMO on Twitter. All right, have a good one, guys. Thanks so much.